It's good to be. Thanks for the opportunity. So, it's just, I love just hearing what God is beginning to say. Just the story of little Chloe trying to get through the window and climb on the bed, and what Lee's sharing. And Joey said, Lance, have you got something on your heart? I said, absolutely. This thing of, what is intimacy with the Father? What is intimacy with the Father? So, it's about stories tonight. So, I'm going to let Sue start some stories of Malawi. So that there's good feedback. You know, we read in Acts that the people came back and they told and what everything they'd seen and done and God had done, and the saints were encouraged and built up. So I'm going to let Sue start with some stories and a few little video clips, and then I'm going to carry on from there.
So just move it on when she asks you.
Good evening, everybody. It's wonderful to be here, and especially for us to be back to celebrate the birth of our first grandchild. So... yeah, we are Tyron and Zante. There they are over there. Very special to be here for 3 months. COVID has halted us in this place of being with the family and our friends. And just to be last night with, yesterday with Denise for her baby shower, and with another friend on Monday for her birthday. It's a privilege for us, because sometimes I don't see another white woman for 3 months. And we love the Malawian people, but the level of friendship is limited a little bit by language. So our hearts are knit, but it's hard to share deeper things when you're trying to communicate in another language. So we wanted to start, and I wanted to just tell you the story of one village. So we're working in 148 small churches, and then 22 larger churches. So we don't really get to all of them. Our main role is to draw the leaders together and train them. But I wanted to take you for a few moments into a village called Dwangwa. It's up on the Malawian lake shore. It's about halfway up the lake. It takes us about 6 hours to drive there on really bad roads. And when we get there, Edson and Fatima have been in 412 for 2.5 years, and they run a small church called Josh Jean Dwangwa. They don't want to be anything else but Josh Jean. And I wanted to show you some pictures of us, some videos of us in that place. So if you can just go down, Paul. Okay, wait, Lance, put the lake. That's the shore just about 1 kilometer inland from Dwangwa. Next one. This lady, the first thing we did when we got there in March was this lady came to testify, to tell us. She'd come past the last trip and asked her to pray for her. She had her arthritis and her daughter was in hospital. And this testimony, you're not going to follow too much in Chichewa, but basically both of them were healed. Not just the daughter in hospital, but her complete arthritis was healed. You'll see how she jumps around, so you can show that video.
Ineyo, ndali yori naliba maburozedi. Ndiye mwendo wanga umanivula ni maganika mendigo yanga. Kuma asontende ina inalivo inganesi imanivula ni mavaku kwete kazedi kwa mimba. Ndiye nita kumana natu nivya murungua, ata nipe mpelela. Ndona kuti zose zidata nidajila mu dzina la Yesu. Komaso naliso ndi mwana amene anavulala anapezeka ngozi ya gali moto nakampeza kuti sizili bwina ali serious. Ndienda kumana niwo watumiki nitabwera kuno mwana uja nakampeza ku Central SBK kulilongwe. Ndiye iye analovulala zedi koma chifukwa chokhulupirira Mulungu pamapemphero amene wadanipatsiwo.
Yes.
Okay, so COVID hit Malawi and we were limited with our school bringing people on for training. So we went to the village and we decided to do some COVID training. They were very scared of us. They ran away because they'd heard that white people had COVID. So COVID, COVID! And we set up the Jesus movie and we saw hundreds of people come. Social distancing doesn't happen in Malawi. And a lot of children, many people responded to the gospel. And then we went back for another trip. Part of that picture on the left is having fun with the ladies. So we were trying different styles of headdress and laughing at each other. And we believe that God, the apostolic mandate is to go and live with the people, not to live in a hotel or a lodge, but to be with them so they can see how we live in Christ. And to laugh together builds a relationship deeper than anything else you can do. And then on the right, we're training some leaders there in the afternoon, sitting, chatting, talking about 412 and the Acts, what it means to be a New Testament church. Go on to the next one. Okay, this is the morning, and we parked with our camper right next to their new house. It's amazing. We prayed for a new house for them, and they got a place just opposite their little shop. And you can play this video.
And there's a lot of things happening. Neighbors are getting up. Good morning. And we are just setting up for some coffee here in the morning. Here's breakfast.
So our camper is about 2 meters and we live in that for between a weekend to 2 weeks at a time when we go to the different villages. And that couple there that came out are Muslims. So you can imagine when we're worshiping and singing, they get it all. Next video. That's the oldest child, David.
There's Chifundu, baby chore.
Which means Grace, her name. Every child's got their chores, and they all help with what's happening. And they are very unhappy. Their parents are very unhappy because they've only got 3 children, and Edson refuses. The grandparents are very unhappy. They're only 3, and they won't have more children. They're limiting their family size. Average family size is 6 to 8. So Malawi is just exploding with kids. This is the church. Before, this is the church in August, okay? And they're meeting in a school where there are another 3 churches meeting. So it's a bit of a competition to see who can sing and play loudest. So here's church, Sunday morning. Pastor's kids leading the worship there. Go on to the next one. Everything's translated, so it takes more time. And then we were very privileged because, like, we woke up that morning and Lance and I both, I said to him, I'm just feeling like this couple needs a venue of their own. And he said, yo, I felt the same thing. In fact, I've been walking past the foundations of a building next to their house. And I'm feeling in the God that we need to encourage them to look to what God is saying about that property. But the first thing we did was, we were planning to take them out for lunch. It's the first time they've ever been out for lunch, ever. So she went into the kitchen to help with the cooking at the restaurant. Carry on showing pictures. This is negotiating which restaurant to go to. There's no menu, so you've got to talk to everyone and who's got the best price and who's got the food for whatever.
In Drangwa Market, negotiating which restaurant we should go to. And it's a big discussion. Here are the ladies talking to Fatima.
Next one. Next one. Okay, so this is when we're just stopping at the piece of property next to their house and just asking them to ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying.
Elijah said to his servant, what do you see? Elijah said to his servant, what do you see? His servant went and he came back and said, I see nothing. Translate.
Everywhere you go, the kids gather.
Don't
look with your eyes. Look with your spirit. What do you see?
Abu.
Abu.
Jonas
foundation.
She sees foundation
with your eyes. What do you see with your spirit?
Yeah. For me.
Both of you.
Okay. I also see foundation here. And also, I also see that even the can have a church, can do the church here. Because there's a foundation, yes. We've got to put some poles here and some roof, and if the church can gather this place. By faith, I believe that this can be possible.
Can you see it? Fatima, can you see it?
Okay, so he went to the guy that owned that property that week and asked if he could have it to be used for a church, and the guy said, you can have it free of charge. I haven't got enough money to build on those foundations. So as long as you build a temporary structure, you can have church here. And the last picture is the celebration. We were able to give them 5,000 rand. They could put a side and a decent roof with grass and plastic. And here's the picture of them meeting the first time, which was in August, September, while we were here. So that's the story of one little church, and that you guys have sent us to go and encourage, to lift up their vision, to bless them, and just to see God work in their lives in amazing ways. So thank you.
So when we first met Edson 4 years ago, he was in a three-piece suit with a little black attaché case, full-time pastor in his denomination with a salary and a house in a church building. And the next time he saw me, his waistcoat was gone. And the next time he saw me, his tie and jacket was gone. And then he came and he said, I need to resign because what you guys have is what I see in the Word, and what I have isn't worth the money. So I said, you can't leave and plant in your town because your people love you. Transition your church to a new pastor and move too far. So he moved 48 Ks and started again a little business with his family and planting a church. And although it's small, it's really a tiny little crowd. It's probably one of the healthiest churches, because there's no choirs and manipulation and man of God and priest and show off. It's just a little family and neighbors that are reaching a community. And people come, and when they realize they're not being preached prosperity, they leave. So it hasn't grown in numbers, but it's grown in depth. And so well done. Amazing. Thank you. Okay, let's move it on. And then just a surprise picture. So I had to throw him in there because he was there this year, you know, and it was such a God time for him. I want to read for you from the book of Acts. Can Sebastian, you can do it. Bring me one of those little round tables right at the back there. Those like coffee table things. Let's involve him, see him as a... Come on. You're okay, Sebastian's not going to do it. Hello? No, it's fine. He's got it. Yeah, just stick it here. Yeah, Sebastian, bring me one of those round coffee tables and just stand it here for me. There you go. Now that's perfect. Thanks. Well done. There you go. Yeah, so thanks for sending him up. He came up for a month. It would have been longer because of COVID. He came home, but just came to serve us and met with God in an incredible way. And one day I hope he can share his story of just how God just found him. And Acts chapter 17. There we go. I want to read this to you. Intimacy with the Father. So now we want to tell some stories. Tell us of life, stories of Malawi, stories of the Father, and read some scriptures. So I'm not so much going to expand on scriptures. It's just open something of the Father's heart. The God who made the world and everything in it is the God of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by humble hands as if he needs anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. And God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. It's an incredible story. And I thought I'd just drop something. Should I even say it? No, I won't. Okay. Stories. You know, I've asked questions to God over time. Said, God, what about this or what about that? And last year, early in March, I got a phone call from Durban, South Africa. And the story was this. Lance, your dad is passing away. He's in his early 90s. You need to come and see him. So you can put the next picture. And so soon I flew down from Malawi to Durban, to Pietermaritzburg, where my dad was in a little old age facility. And we got to spend 3 days with him. Just days of looking into his eyes. His mind was incredibly alert. His spirit was alive. He was praying for the nurses as they came in to like change his nappies and care for him, because his body was just fading by the hour. Just fading. A man who lived a godly life. I only ever saw him fight with my mother once, which was when my brother and I set them up against each other on purpose to see if this was a real thing, because they never argued. I'm sure they had some disagreements we didn't know about. But when we saw them fight, we were traumatized because we thought we're going to cause a divorce. You know, it's like, what have we done? What have we done? And he was a pastor. He was a preacher in a Baptist church. And that was my dad. Gentle man, a gracious man, a loving man. Had stories of his own. And for the next picture, it's my mom, my dad. This was last year when we went up to see him. And another picture. See another one? Okay, Jeremiah. So I sat with my dad. And one of the things God had been saying to me was this. Well, I'd been saying to God, where did I get this thing of the nations? Why do I love Malawi? I mean, I'm a white kid from South Africa. Why is this just caught my heart? And God just kept saying this, like the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you were born. I set you apart. I appointed you to prophet of the nations. So as I sat with my dad for 3 days, just talking and just getting close to him, you know, I said, Dad, there's a question in my heart that I feel God says I should ask you. He says he knew me before I was born. And every time I ask him why I got this love for Malawi, he says, I knew you before you were born. So I asked my dad, where was I conceived? Because I was born in Boksburg. And that's nothing like Malawi, you know. And he says, Lance, you were born in 1959. But we lived in Mthatha in the Eastern Cape. And we moved to Boksburg at the end of 1958. It says, you were conceived in Mthatha. Then you moved to Boksburg. And it may sound silly. It may sound small. But when he told me that, it's like, oh, of course. God, you knew. You did something. You're into the small stitch of the tapestry. You're into the molecule of something of my spirit. You know us. When you say you know us before you're born, you did it. I don't know if something happens. But for me, when my dad told me that, I was like, yes, of course. Of course. That's where you knit me together. That love my dad had for the people in the Eastern Cape, that's where he ministered. That's where my brother was born. That's where you knit something into my being. You know me, God. You're a God of intimacy. You're a God of closeness. And this year, a month ago, I went camping with Wayne and Annette in the Cedarburg, not even a month ago, 2 weeks ago, and I was shaving. Just standing in the campsite, and as I was shaving, God said to me, do you remember when you spent time with your dad last year? I was like, yes, Lord. He says, that's intimacy with me. And I was like, what do you mean it's intimacy with you? And I went and I sat down by the lake and I was thinking about, I was just shaving and God spoke to me, you know. That's intimacy. When I spent those 3 days with my dad, one of the things I did was give him his last shave. Just give him a shave. What a privilege. Careful, Lance, the skin's like tissue paper. I got it, Dad, I got it. This face that raised me. It taught me how to pray. It helped me give my first little preach when I was about 7. It's like, Dad, this is intimacy with the Father. I was like, God, what are you trying to teach me from that time with my dad? That's the intimacy with you. What are you trying to show me? I came back from the shave. I said to you, God is speaking to me something about my time with my dad. What is it? Luke 15, verse 20. And the father got up. The son got up and he went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and he kissed him. I'm going, there's something of God's intimacy here. While I was sitting with my dad last year, I said, Dad, you know, I need to repent and ask your forgiveness because when I was a young boy, in my 20s, I walked away from God. And I used to come home drunk and be stupid. Dad, will you forgive me? And he said this. He said, you know, every night you were out, I'd crawl into your bed and I would just pray in tongues. When I heard you come in the driveway, I'd quickly get out, go back to my room. He said, because I knew that you could not sleep in that bed in that state and not find the presence of God. And while he was a long way off, his father saw him and full of compassion, he ran to his son. He threw his arms around and he kissed him. This is the most undignified thing a wealthy Jewish man can do. Pull up his cloak in public and run down the road. Intimacy with my father. Oh God, this is intimacy with our father. This is what he does. This is how he climbs up. And like you stand at the window and he pulls you in. You stand at the bed and he pulls you on. He's like, oh, I got it. I got it. There's another next one there, I think. It's my mom and my dad. So let me tell you another story. My mom became very sick with cancer. And for 5 years she was ill. And my dad looked after her. And he looked after her, and he looked after her for 5 years. And then she passed away. And then he met another lady, a widow, by the name of Margaret. And they got married. And exactly a year into their marriage, she got cancer. My dad looked after her for a year. And then she passed away. And I think 2 years later, he met another lady, a beautiful widow. And he married her. And then she started getting Alzheimer's. And she looked after him, and he looked after her, and then Dad passed away. And then I asked my dad about that. I said, Dad, how did you manage? How did you do this? How did you carry Mom, and then carry Margaret, and now this? And he said this. He said, you know that God used what he taught me to nurse your mom to ready me to nurse Margaret so that she wouldn't go through her last years alone. I'm going, oh God, I need to get saved all over again. Because that's the Father's heart. It's just, this is the Father's heart. He's like, he used his own son to walk in your place, in my place, to ready us for a wedding banquet that we could not afford to get in the door. That's the Father's eyes. Show the next scripture there. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her, verse 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, that without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now guys, in the same way, husbands, they ought to love their wives as their own body. For he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body. But they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of one body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. Now this is a profound mystery. That Paul says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife should respect the husband. And then the last day there, after I'd shaved him, put my cheek against his cheek. And his tears rolled down and my tears rolled down. And there's nothing more to say. He shared scriptures. We've talked about growing up. And I say goodbye. And I turn around and I say, come Sue, we've got to leave now. We've got to go back to Malawi. And he flew back to Malawi. And it was 4 days later, I get another phone call. Dad's graduated. He's going to be with the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for a godly father. Could lay down his life for his wife and model the very thing that Jesus does for us. And a year before, I was saying, I'm going to go to the lake for my 60th birthday. I'm going to have my 60th birthday on the lake. Well, little did I know that a week later, I'd be sitting on the lake shore with Wayne and Annette. Here's the next one, I think. Ah. And my dad's memorial funeral will happen on my birthday in Pietermaritzburg, and I'd be sitting on the lake shore. Of course, my dad was Scottish. There's his scarf. There's his shoes. And these are the last shoes he preached in. And they're getting good mileage out of them in Malawi. I've totally worn these ones out. Now I'm wearing these ones out. Because they're big shoes to fill. Now this is the incredible thing. This is our Father. He says, I'm holy. So be holy like I'm holy. My DNA is in you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I've never heard that as this bony finger. Be holy, because I, the Lord God, I'm holy. I've heard it as like, be holy, because I'm holy. Poof. It's like, I formed you to be holy. Stay pure. Get rid of the junk. Walk holy. Walk free. Walk free. I was like, God, you put something in my father and he's put it in me. I'm going to walk in that because I walk in you. I don't know if that makes sense to you. What's next there? So I went down to the lake. You can play the video. And I spent the day sitting on the lake with Wayne and Annette. They baked me a birthday for my 60th. I don't know where they even got a... They got somebody to bake a birthday. And then Jesus pushed the boat out a little bit. He stood on the boat. He said, who's heavy and weary? Come and follow me, I'll give you life. He says, come, I'll make you fishers of men. That's my Father. That's my Father. John 14, verse 9 to 18. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus answered, Philip, don't you know me? Even after I've been with you for such a long time, anyone who's seen me sees the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't even speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, Jesus, who's doing the work. So believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to my Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Verse 5, but if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you, and I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I saw something for the first time. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Who says that? I'm a trick question. Who says that? Because I've always read Jesus saying, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to ask my Father to send you a spirit. But then I went back, and I don't know if I'm stretching this, but I'm suggesting it, Joey. He says, if I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, and it's me and the Father, and the Father's speaking in me, it's as good as Abba, a tate, daddy, saying, I won't leave you as an orphan. It's as good as the Father speaking. Because the Father and Jesus are one. You can't separate them. If you see me, you see the Father. You see the Father, you see me. The question I'm asking is intimacy with the Father. What does that look like and how do I step into it? How do I draw to that place? How do I know the hug of the Father? How do I know my cheek on his cheek when I think about the tears of the cross? How do I know the closeness of a shave of my earthly father to touch the Father? Because we talk about Jesus, my lover, my soul, but it's kind of the Father's a little bit distant sometimes, you know, kind of trying to work it out. But he says, if the Father and me are one and I'm in the Father, there's nothing I do without the Father. There's nothing the Father doesn't do through Jesus. There's nothing the Spirit doesn't do without the presence of the Father initiating or Jesus asking. The first one I got there was, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, thinking back to my earthly father, I loved him. So I did what he asked. I rebelled once or twice, and I quickly changed my mind. I realized this is not worth the price. It's not worth the price. You know, I grew my hair long, and that was fine, and then I cut it into a mullet. My mother started crying, and my father said, get out the house. So I packed my bag, took my then girlfriend, and we left the house. And 6 hours of that, I thought, it's not worth the rebellion. I borrowed a scissors from the party I was at. I said, so you cut the mullet off, let's go home. And we went back home. Peace was restored, food was back on the table. It was like simple. I got married, I grew the mullet back, and kept it for another 10 years. If you love me, keep my commands. Intimacy with the Father comes with obedience. It's one of my suggestions. Just obedience. When he says this, just do it. He's your dad. In fact, he's more. He's your master. He's your Lord. Because you yourself responded, will you give your life to me? Yes, Lord. You're not just my Savior, you're my Lord. What you ask, I will do. My life is dead when I go into. When I'm baptized, I die to myself. I don't get out of that water. I come out a new creation. I come out in Jesus. I'm not baptized back into the world. I'm baptized into Jesus. And Jesus is the one that says on the cross, not my will, Father. If there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Oh, but not my will, your will. And that act of obedience brings you and me salvation and eternity. So one of the things for me about intimacy with Father is obedience. on the small things and the big things, on the unimportant and the important. Obedience. If you want to put your cheek with the cheek of the Father, you have to be obedient. Because you can't, as a disobedient child, you can't get that close. You just can't, because you have too much shame and guilt. Father's waiting to run, but you've got to turn and say, I'm sorry, I'm not worthy to be a servant. The next one, Romans 8, 14 to 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, no, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I love the Chichewa word from Malawi. Instead of Abba, they say Atate. It just sounds so cool. I just love it. It's Daddy. It's Daddy. We kind of got used to Abba. Being led by the Spirit. In other words, let Daddy take your hand. So come, let's go walk through life. No. That's not healthy food. Come this way. Stop, there's a bus. Okay, let's go. No. You can't date that guy. He's going to break you. Yeah. Come. Yes. No. Yeah, freedom. Okay, run now. Wait. Okay, run some more. That's being led by the Spirit. If you're not obedient, you will never hear the voice of the Spirit for that kind of leading. You need to be led by the Spirit. When you're disobedient, you don't hear the still voice of your Father. And I really believe that we can get that close to have intimacy with the Father. Another one, 1 Peter 5, 5 to 6. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Is that what I had? Did I just do that? No. I jumped one. Did we read Romans 8? Do we have Romans 8? Yes, and then the next, no, back. Is it the same scripture with both things? Oh, clever man. Romans 8, 4. Okay, just let me get it from here. And then 1 Peter 5. Okay, that was Romans 8, 4. And then the other one is 1 Peter 5. Obey His commands, be led by the Spirit, and humility. When you come arrogant before the Father, you don't have intimacy with the Father. When you come proud before the Father, you won't have intimacy with the Father. But when you come with humility, I mean, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, young men, in the same way be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. To know the grace of God of your life is part of intimacy with the Father. Because when you have intimacy, you can ask anything. And Jesus says, I will ask my Father. And that's part of grace for me. It's like, Father, I've messed up. Please forgive me. He goes, oh, my boy. Jesus asked me. Grace forgives. It's grace is an empowering. Grace is a knowing. Grace is a filling. Grace is of Him. But it comes with humility. To know the intimacy of the Father. Learn to walk in humility. Not just with Him. With His people. When Peter's writing here, he's writing to a young man. Talking about the interaction within the church. Young man. Learn to be humble with the older people. But when we do that, when we live here, when we live on earth in humility, we find God's grace. When we live here with pride, He opposes us. If there's anybody I don't want to oppose me, is the Father. I do not want God to oppose me. But he can literally oppose you. You can be trying to do everything and he's going, I am pushing back against you. I'm opposing you. I know when I was opposed with my father. Because I asked him for some things at one stage in my young years. And he was like, no. Like, Dad, you're a gracious, kind man. And no. I knew. Behind the gentleness, there was no was no. No was no. And the stronger I got, the stronger I knew the no was. Hebrews 12, 5-1. I hope that one's there. Discipline. Oh, how can you talk about intimacy with the Father and then bring this whole thing into it? We just got over 3 weeks of discipline, haven't we? And like, you bring it back. Listen, for those who are... You did it again. I said to Sue, I don't want to use a PowerPoint because it ties me up. I don't like that. Anyway, we went for it. Oh, I love it. Hebrews, okay, it's obviously pasted the same one every time. Hebrews chapter 12, I'll read it for you. Verse 5 to 11. Why discipline with intimacy with the Father? Listen carefully to this, eh? Hebrews 12, verse 5 to 11. I love it. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. The word of encouragement. This is the word of encouragement. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Ooh. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline is pleasant at the time, but painful. And later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Wow. Discipline. Accept the Lord's discipline. If you want intimacy with the Father, place yourself in the place where you can receive discipline. And where did he disciplines within his church? He disciplines within the bride. You know, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, correct, rebuke, and encourage. He's like, oh, that's nice pastoral advice. Correct, reduce, and encourage. I remember standing in a gathering 3 years ago, story. I was here in eldership, and Andrew said he stood on the stage, and he pointed across to somebody, and I don't know if they're here, but he said, stand up. And the person stood up and he said, who corrects and disciplines you? Who was in that meeting? Do you remember that? So all of us leaders cringed because we were like, And he said, that man is my comm leader. And Andrew said, stand up. I said, who corrects and disciplines you? And I could see the rest of us going, oh. And he said, that elder. And he said, stand up. I said, who corrects and disciplines you? And they said, Brett, who was leading. I said, Brett, stand up. Who corrects and disciplines you? And he said, well, my father-in-law and you, Andrew. And then somebody said, and who corrects and disciplines Andrew? And he said, these other guys. If you want intimacy with the Father, you have to live in submission in the family in such a way that discipline can come through. We can't come into church and saying, I will never let God discipline me. Because a loving father disciplines his kids to bring through a harvest of righteousness. For me, that's part of intimacy. It's part of intimacy because it's part of restoring out of naughtiness into closeness. Can I word it like that? When you discipline your children, whatever means you do in your home, to bring forth a harvest of righteousness in their life. You don't leave them. You pull them close to say, my boy, my daughter, that was because I love you. Now it's dealt with. It's forgiven. Let's move on. Let's move back into closeness. That is it. And then the last thing. I guess Hebrews 10 is going to give us the same thing as before. There you go. It's like amazing. Prophetic. Hebrews 10, verse 22 and verse 23. So I'm going to close with this. It's simple. If you want intimacy with the Father, you have to draw near to him. That's it. Verse 19 of Hebrews 10. Therefore, my brothers, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. The place of intimacy with the Father. Since we have confidence to enter that place by the blood of Jesus, the price that was paid, by a new and living way opened through us through the curtain, that is his body, which was torn. And since we have a great high priest, Jesus, over the house of God, let us therefore draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to him. It was that thing Philip was saying. If you want intimacy with God, take a step. Draw near to him. Purpose in your heart. I'm going to do what I need to do. I know when I had been rebellious and running and doing stupid, it was not an easy thing to go back to my parents' house in my 20s. It was not an easy thing. I knew I'd been breaking their hearts. I knew it. And I knew the door would always be open because I knew my dad. I knew my dad. But I had to still go knock on that door and say, Dad, I'm coming home. And I believe that there's some of us here tonight that God is saying, I'm holding the handle. Like I'm waiting to swing it. I'm waiting. But if I swing it before you're ready, you won't be able to come through because you'll just see judgment on this side. But when you know God's grace wakes on that side because the door is Jesus and you knock, it says, behold, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks, John 14, the door will be opened that we may have a relationship with the Father. And the amazing thing I found with God, with Atate, is when you come into the door, he doesn't stop and say, have you repented? You paid the bills? Is your slate cleared? Or your fingerprints, is that dealt with? Okay, any more debt? Like, is your car leaking oil in the driveway? Like, he doesn't do that. Because when he opens the door, our advocate has already stood on the other side. Our great high priest, the price, the lamb, the blood on the cross, has already stood there and washed the slate. When you stand on that slate, the Father just sees the Son, through the Son, by the Son. He says, come close, my boy. The fact that you stand here tells me you're over, you're through, you've crossed back. I don't know, those aren't biblical words, but you know what I mean. You've come home. And he pulls up his cloak and he says, give this kid a ring. The ring is my authority. Put new clothes on them. Give them back their dignity. Give them everything. Put food in their stomach. Give them back health. Give them back a life. Let people know that you're dead and you're alive. You're dead and you're alive. I have such confidence. My earthly father is in the presence of the Father. Because I know. And he told me the story of when he knelt before the front of a church, said, I give you my life. I give you my life. And my prayer today is there one more there? No more scriptures, they're all the same. That's from the front door of the house where we live in Longwe. So it's Andrew with a guitar. But when you come to the Father, you know freedom. You know liberty, you know praise. You're not perfect on earth, but your spirit is born again and you're made alive in him. Can I carry on a little bit? I don't know what the time is. But there were two calls I want to make. I didn't seem like there were many visitors here, but I want to tell you, I was a pastor's kid. I used to be part of the youth leadership. I used to sing on a band on a Sunday. And I would be partying in the wrong side of Durban Beachfront on the Saturday. Actually, I wasn't born again. I was just doing the right stuff. I did that for years. I did it because I loved my dad. I didn't want to embarrass him. But I knew I could never hide anything. Because the night before he preached, he'd lie in my bed for hours praying in tongues till I came home. That's what I found out. And I want to say that there's some of us, you need to come home. I know we've been talking about sin and repentance. You know, it's possible to have no sin and be repentant and not be close to the Father. Imagine that. To be part of a beautiful church and not know the stillness of His voice. And not being read just daily, just being led by His Spirit. God, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? Where do you want to go? I just want to woo you back to that place. I just want to woo you. Say, come back. Can you just come put your cheek on His cheek again? Can you feel the tears of the cross again? I get so busy sometimes in Malawi, so busy. Life is hard there. It's like there's queues and dust, and I drive like a taxi myself, and it's crazy. It's just crazy. You don't preach for an hour. You preach for 4, 5, 6, 8 hours. You just go. It just goes on. You've hours and hours and hours. And eventually you forget the tears of the cross, you know. You just do what you do. Would you put your hand back in a dad's hand tonight and just say, oh, Daddy, getting too busy. Oh, Daddy, this COVID thing, I took my eyes off you and I put it on that. I don't know what it is, but I just want to woo you. Come back to Tate. Come back to Him. Come back to intimacy. If you've been proud, like, I can do it on my own, you know. There's a gospel that's preached out there. It's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And after no time, it's like, I can do all things. And there's very little of Christ doing anything. And it's an arrogance that, like, now that I'm saved, it's like, I almost don't need God. And preacher after preacher is how good you are and how wonderful and how fulfilling and how magnificent. But when I read the gospel, it's like, oh, humble yourself. Just humble yourself. Less of me, then more of you. Less of me, more of you. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're just going to say, oh God, more of you, less of me. As we worship a little bit. I'm just putting some of the suggestions that I'm feeling in God. And yeah, we can pray with you. And we'd love to pray with you. But you know, when they phoned me and said, Lance, your dad's dying. I didn't say to my extended family. Some of them are sitting here. Could you go to Maritzburg and tell my dad I love him? Could you ask him some questions for me, like where was I conceived? And, you know, I was like, it's not going to work. I need an air ticket, and I need it for two of us, and I need to tell the pastors there I'm canceling some training. I need a place to stay. I'm going to Maritzburg. Because I need some intimacy here. I need to say goodbye. There's some things nobody can do for you. Jesus has done everything, but you're the one who has to respond. Even as a believer, for you to respond and come back and say, I'm coming back. Like we sang last week, coming back to the heart of worship. Don't sing it, but we sang it. It's like, yeah, we got to come back. And then the other one is maybe there's somebody here. And I say maybe because I didn't see too many visitors. But you've never sat in front of Jesus and had the privilege of saying, Jesus, I see it. I get it. And maybe tonight you get it. Maybe tonight you're saying, I get it. It's all about me and the Father. I get it. And without Jesus, I can't get that. And so Jesus, I need the price of the blood. I need you to pay what I can't pay. I need you to clear the way to the Father. And I receive what you've done. You know, the Bible says the devils believe in Jesus. The devils believe that He died and rose again because they were involved in that. But they don't have faith in the power of that, and they don't put their trust in their faith in the power of that. You might believe, but can you put your faith in, which means I put my trust in it? Which means I let go of the steering wheel. Stop trying to drive something myself and say, okay, I believe in autopilot. Hands off. Because that's really what it is. God knit you in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were born. He planned out every day of your life, Philip read it. He purposed it before you were even born. So surely he can drive you through this road. Of course he can. If that's you, and you're saying, I need Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you to just come to the front just now. Because we're going to stand up in a few seconds. I'm going to ask those that just need to say, I'm coming back to God. I'm taking a step. I'm pushing in, like Philip said, to just get out your chair and come. And if you're saying, I need Jesus for the first time, I'm going to ask you to stand up when those people stand up. And we'll never even know it's you. And would you push to the front? And you'll come to Philip or me or Sue because you've seen our faces. Is that okay? If somebody brought you, grab them and come with them. And we can pray with you and give you and just, is that all right? Seek me and you'll find me. There's a verse in Chronicles that says, the eyes of the Father roam to and fro across the earth, seeking those whose hearts are purely devoted to Him, those who worship in spirit and truth. He looks, got one. It's like, can you see that? And he pulls his family back. It's like, come home, come home, come home, come home. Let's stand up.